Several years ago, I attended a high school reunion, and those are always a little scary. but way back in high school, I had a colleague. His name was Jim Dick, and he had fiery red hair, and he was a little bit uncomfortable in his skin, and he was kind of outside the popular, you know, group that ran around. And but Jim was just a nice guy, and he was shy. He didn't really stand out in the crowd, other than his little bit quirkiness. And he had curly, fiery, did I mention that? Curly, fiery red hair. And, he was just a nice guy. And it was, I don't know what year reunion we went back for. But you know how you have kind of a mental image about how people are going to turn out? And you think, I wonder whatever happened to Jim Dick. And in walked this man full of confidence and poise and boldness. And I'm like, my, how you have changed. And here he was, had went into law enforcement, and he was like the chief of police out in some town in Arizona. And we were like, Jim, is that you? Change is part of life. And we can, because we have a free will, we can either choose to embrace change, or we can choose to, try to put it off. But we know that it's just not possible for very long to refuse change, because, we know that if anything in nature were to try to resist change, it would simply die. And we're really not any different. We have to allow change for our physical bodies. We grow out of clothes, for example, and we need bigger clothes. Now, hopefully that, as we get older, we're not growing out of our clothes, later. But anyway, as we're growing, as, adolescents, we're getting and growing, and we have to allow for change. Now, we can sometimes give ourselves excuses that sometimes we don't want to change, therefore we're not going to. And I think Jesus has some words for us today. We were all a little bit nervous about the buds on the trees, weren't we, last week? I was nervous about the buds on the fruit trees, because I was thinking, if they get out there too far, and then get frosted, what's going to happen to my Macintosh apple crop? So I have to have my Macintosh apples. And did you know that we haven't been having Macintosh apples the last few years? Well, last year we got a good batch, and I've been stocking up on them, but they're a soft apple. They don't... Well, here I am going on about Macintosh apples. Change is inevitable, and we have a choice on whether or not we are going to embrace it or reject it. Turn in your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. By the way, our alabaster box is up here. Thank you, Ella and Tracy, for getting it in place. And the alabaster offering is an offering that we give twice a year, and the alabaster offering goes towards the building of medical facilities, homes for missionaries, schools, and it goes for concrete buildings all across the mission field. And so that's what that offering is for. And I really appreciate your participation in it. Oftentimes our image of heaven is serene and peaceful, and that's not a bad image. It's not an inaccurate image. Books like Heaven is for Real and 90 Minutes in Heaven certainly underscore the thought that heaven is a beautiful place. But Matthew and Mark really drive the point home that heaven is not only a place that is a reality when we die. The kingdom of God is to be invited into our lives here and now. Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. I can tell by the format that is on the screen that we've had trouble with a program again today. Brad, thank you for charging through. Thank you. Yeah. Some days we just have to work harder at getting the mission done. Amen? This was one of them. Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so as long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. Verse 21, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No. He pours new wine into new wineskins. Matthew and Mark and Luke have a very down-to-earth description of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is not only a place to be fulfilled in greater fulfillment, but it is here and now. That may bend your theology a little bit, but you really can't argue when it comes to Matthew and Luke and Mark and John. The kingdom of God is mentioned 14 times in the Gospel of Mark, and the kingdom of heaven is used 32 times in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, you might think that those terms are really significant in that they're different, but we find that as we begin to look at the rest of the Gospels, we find that even Jesus uses the terms synonymously. For instance, when Jesus said to the rich young ruler that it is more difficult for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. And there, such it is with the kingdom of God. So Jesus even uses the terms interchangeably, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. One of the stories that Mark uses that we covered a couple weeks ago illustrates that the kingdom of heaven is here and now. By the way, if you're struggling with that a little bit theologically, let me remind us of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mark brought up this powerful story. He records the event of four friends who brought their friend who was paralyzed. They faced incredible obstacles in getting their friend to Jesus. He couldn't get there because he couldn't walk. And when they got him there to where Jesus was, nobody could get close to Jesus except those who were already in the crowd because the crowd was so big. And so remember what they did? They ran around the back of the house, and they, the poor guy, hoisted this guy up on the roof, and then they tied four cords onto a mat, and they dug through the roof, and they lowered their friend down in front of Jesus. This is the kingdom of heaven at work here and now, rooting out sin and bringing redemption and healing to people here and now in our lives. The kingdom of God is you and me following Jesus and bringing our friends to Jesus. Remember the next story? We talked about it last week. Jesus is walking through the crowds and he sees Levi, who is later understood to be Matthew, and he says, follow me. And Matthew left all of his stuff and followed Jesus. And the very next scene that is contained in that record of events is that Jesus is attending a party. And you know who's at the party? All of Levi's friends. All of his carousing friends from his life, who he is so excited to introduce them to Jesus. And then you flip the page and you see that Jesus himself is reclining on his elbow, eating with the tax collectors and sinners, which was a tremendous symbol of acceptance if you ate with someone, shared a table with someone. And so Mark records this event that the Pharisees were like looking at Jesus and were like, and they talking to his disciples and saying, your teacher is eating with tax collectors. You want to call him rabbi? Look what he's doing. He is eating, sharing a meal with tax collectors and sinners. And then we find as we read, continue to read the Gospels, that this is what Jesus came to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. In fact, the last pericope that we read last week was that it kind of summed it up. Mark kind of summed it up in that Jesus said, I did not come to heal the healthy. I came to heal the sick. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And here it is again. Now we're going to talk about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven a little bit later, more as the Gospel of Mark unfolds. But Mark is laying this beautiful picture out for us that Jesus loves to be with sinners. He loves to be with people. He loves to seek and to save the lost. In fact, we read over there in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus will even, once you're in the fold, once you're in the church, Jesus will go back out. He'll leave you here, and he'll keep coaching, and you keep drawing support from each other, but he'll go out and he'll seek that and save that lost one so he can bring him in too. And then we learn from that that becomes our role as we mature in Christ. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the kingdom of heaven. Not some faraway place that we wait for, but it's a reality that we participate in now. What time is it? It's party time. In fact, Jesus, in our scripture that we read this morning, John's disciples were fasting because John was in prison. And Jesus describes, we can tell from the way that he responds to the idea of fasting, that fasting is something that had to do with grieving and loss. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees were asking questions about why it was that John's disciples were fasting and Jesus' disciples were not. And Jesus responded and he said what? He said, it's not time to fast because I'm here. Yeah. And now there will come a time when you're going to fast because I'm going to be in the ground. And then 3 days later, it's party time. It's time to go get your friends and do whatever you need to do to get them to Jesus. Amen. It's party time. So, we do things like intentionally create space in our week for people who do not yet know Christ. We do things like fire up the barbecue. And we invite our friends and our neighbors over who do not yet know Jesus. We have Super Bowl parties for our friends who do not yet know Jesus. The kingdom of God brings change. and its citizens are willing participants. Let's take a look now as Mark brings it in for a landing. Mark chapter 2, verse 21. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins. I want to introduce you to something that's new right now. This Wednesday night is the beginning of Lent. And as we think about preparing our heart to go through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we want to be in tune with what the Spirit and how the Spirit is leading us, not only for Lent, but also for our emphasis on discipleship in this year. Beginning Wednesday night, we just want to create a space and a time for prayer. Now, you may have a space and a time and a space for prayer in your life apart from getting together right here. But for the last few weeks, Jeanette and I have been, you know, all those prayer requests that you get throughout the week, we've been printing them off. And you know those texts that you get throughout the week asking people to pray for this need and that need? We've been bringing our phones and bringing them before the Father and just getting on our knees before God and bringing the needs before our Heavenly Father. So if you've got a text in the last few weeks on a Wednesday night, that's what's going on. It just so happens that this Wednesday night is Lent, and as we prepare for what God is getting ready to do, I'd like to invite you to come and join Jeanette and I in prayer this Wednesday night. It's not going to be a service. It's going to be a time to just quiet ourselves and pray. Bring your requests to God. Bring your praises to God. Bring your worship to Him. The important thing is that everybody has a time and a space for prayer, and you are intentional about making sure that's happening in your life. And Wednesday night is that time for, has been that time for Jeanette and I for a few weeks now. Wednesday night, 7:00. Bring your requests to God and your praise to Him and your worship. I'm not going to preach a sermon, so that's not going to scare anybody off, right? All right? You don't have any excuse now, because that preacher just goes on and on and on. But I'm not going to do that Wednesday night. I'm not even going to preach. We're just going to pray. If that fits you, wonderful. If it doesn't, wonderful. But just so that everybody hears my encouragement to make sure there's a time and a space in your life for intentional prayer. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Now, back in the day when I was growing up, way back, Joey, way back. Think dinosaurs. And then think millennial before that. I wore blue jeans. I had Levi's. I had Wranglers. I had Rustlers. And I was busy as a little young guy wearing the knees out of my jeans. And so Mom and Dad would get me a pair of jeans, and it wasn't long before the jeans went from blue to white to blue, and then blue to knee, and then blue. And the jeans were perfectly fine except for the wore out knees. And so back then, even, you know, Joey, way back then, we weren't using thread to put patches on our britches. We were using the iron-on patches. How many of you remember the iron-on patches? Oh, quite a few remember the. You grew up in a technologically awesome generation. Iron-on patches. Yeah, remember that smell those things let off? Oh, yeah. And you're like, I have a new pair of jeans. I can't bend in the knees, but I have a new pair of jeans. And then you'd finally get those jeans to where they would bend, and you'd go back about your, you know, little guy routine, you know, plowing the shag carpet with your John Deere tractor and your disc, and it was awesome. And pretty soon, the edges would start to peel up. Remember that? And they get sticky. And before long, it's like, I think I'd rather have the holes. I know. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. But anyway, back then they wore wool clothing, and when you bought wool clothing back then, you wore it really large to begin with. You bought it really large because it was going to what? Shoop! It was going to shrink. The first time you washed it, it was going to go from this great big garment to mini size, you know. And so what they did was they would purposely buy it large so that when it shrunk, it would fit their body. Custom, you know, it became custom fit. And so Jesus is saying, nobody, when they get a hole in their garment, and by the way, by the time they shrink down and become all soft, they're like the favorite. And you don't want to wear anything else, and your family's like, you need to wash that thing. You're like, no, it's comfortable. They're like, no, you really need to wash it. We're talking two separate issues here. Anyway, Jesus is saying, you can't take a piece of wool that's not been shrunk and attach it to a shrunk piece and expect that the next time you wash it that you're not going to have a problem, because that unshrunk, unwashed piece is going to go, it's going to rip right away. Then Jesus uses the illustration of new wine, old wineskins, and new wineskins. Something we're obviously a little less familiar with, because I haven't for a long time skinned a goat and tanned the hide a little bit and sewed it into a bag and put the new wine in. I've never done that, in fact. But Jesus is telling us that this is what they did. Wine, which literally means fruit of the vine, to preserve the fruit of the vine, they introduced the natural process and guided process of fermentation. And so you put that fruit juice in that wineskin, and if that wineskin is fresh and new, what happens when that fermentation starts? You ever seen pickles or something bubbling up? It's like they're burping. They're like burp, 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 burp. And the container's just going to go like this as it grows, because the fermentation is letting off CO2, gas. And so what happens is, if you try to put new wine into an old skin, Jesus says, that's not going to work, because the old skin has lost its pliability. It's already stretched, and it's already turned hard, and it's not going to work. You try to put the new wine into an old wineskin, it's just going to burst, and you're going to lose the skin, and you're going to lose the new wine. I believe what Jesus is saying here is that we can't put and we can't expect to put the new in the old. Now, I believe that there's some parallels that we can draw here. Number one, the old wineskins could represent the law of Moses. Because as we have been, we've known the mind of God through the Ten Commandments, and He's saved our civilization by it. I mean, we're not killing each other, and we shouldn't be doing all the other things either. By and large, we're not killing each other. But, boy, Rockford's really getting rough, isn't it? You need to put the Ten Commandments somewhere where everybody can read it. Amen? Wouldn't that be a good idea? Anyway, what's happening is God is helping us move from external compulsion, from obedience to the law and observance of ceremonies and rituals, to wanting to do it from the heart. And so He's moving us from have to want to. And so we move from compliance to the law to desiring to obey because we want to, from the heart. And so Jesus is teaching us that this new Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is not going to live in the ritual and in the law and in the ceremonies. I think there's more that could be applied here. I've been thinking about getting older. I think I told you a few weeks ago that I got my first senior cup of coffee at McDonald's. I was so, at first, really perturbed, and then I was okay with it because I just saved 32 cents or something like that. And I was like, who do you think you are? I mean, really? Me, a senior? And then I was like, 32 cents? All right, you can call me a senior anytime. Where was I going with that? I really don't know. I'm having a senior moment, maybe. Maybe. Yeah. Somebody help me. Where was I going with that? What? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, change, we think, is harder when we get older. But I've been thinking about that. I even ran this past my counselor wife, who has a master's degree in human development. And I was thinking, you know, tell me if I'm wrong here. We were driving home last night and we're talking about change for older people. And I said, you know, I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I said, I don't think change is any less hard for kindergarten kids than it is for seniors. I mean, the first day of kindergarten is downright terrifying. And the first day of a new school in junior high is downright terrifying. I mean, the only way that little junior can make it through these changes is mom or dad saying, no, you have to. Because if it were up to us, you know, we'd still be at home, you know, with our binky and our blankie watching Captain Kangaroo, if you know what I'm saying. It's hard for a child to lose the nookie. Whatever, is that what that thing's called? The binky? Pacifier? I mean, they'll cry for hours. It's terrible to go through this change. I wonder if I get, you know, as I get older, and I think about the possibility of change, I wonder if it's just that there's not as many people who can tell me what to do. You know, when I get to be 50, 60, 70 years old, there's nobody saying, no, you have to. Yeah, except for Jeanette, right? It's like, and we have to be careful that we don't kind of slip into this, well, I've earned the right to stay the same. I have earned the right to not change. I have earned the right, when in actuality, if it's the Spirit wanting us to grow more sweeter every day and grow in the fruits of the Spirit and love, patience, kindness, long-suffering, kindness and gentleness and self-control, And we're like, no, I'm just going to say it like I feel it. Because I've earned the right to speak my mind. Well, maybe we need to be careful. We are walking in the Spirit. Amen. Because the Spirit is saying, I want to put new freshness. I want to put new kindness. I want to put new self-control in you. But we're like, yeah, go ahead and put it in there. See what happens. It's that new wine in new wineskins. I can say that because I'm a senior now. I think it's vital that we all maintain a vital living relationship with God, remaining tender and pliable to the changes that God is desiring to make in us. Otherwise, we begin to resemble the old wineskins, depending on the old sinful nature and just daring the law to tell us that we can't, when the Holy Spirit is desiring for us to be so pliable and so moldable that we're saying, Holy Spirit, all you got, you could lead me with a feather. Just tell me what you need me to be, what you need me to do. The gospel writers are helping us understand that we are living in the kingdom of heaven here and now as Christians. That it is not only a fulfillment that will gain greater fulfillment after we die, but it is a present reality. Having a Levi party is the kingdom of God. Bringing our friends to Jesus and removing every barrier to make sure it happens is living in the kingdom of heaven. It's a present reality. So all distilled down, the new cannot be contained in the old. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, the new has come. The old sinful nature is gone. The new has come. This allows room for us to grow in grace. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. I've been saved by His grace. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we just give it away then, being graceful with each other. Because it's been freely given to us. And we grow in relationship maturity. While the law brought awareness of our sin, it could not change the heart. A true heart change can only come through an infilling of the Holy Spirit. New wine in new wineskins. The kingdom of heaven. It's being proactive at work, doing the will of God here and now. It's God's will being done on earth, and you and me being willing, raving participants and seeing it accomplished. So we participate in His divine interventions. We participate in the divine moments. We participate in the divine commission that He has for us. Alive in you and me today is the new wine, causing me to stretch and grow. Oh, that hurts. But it's good. It's necessary. If it's not happening, something's wrong. We expect, as we close, I'd like to ask the worship team to come up. We expect that as we get older, our bodies get smaller and shrink, and we get, you know, we have less of a large profile, and you know, we get leaned over and stuff. But our spirits ought to be getting sweeter. More like Jesus. More like Jesus. I love this next song as we close this morning. I am new. Let's stand together and sing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise His name. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for what You're doing here, what You're doing in our lives right now, for not allowing us to stay the same, but growing us in Your image. And now, Lord, we sing a praise to You. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Let's sing.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Praise His name. Yes.
As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Yes. God bless you guys. You are dismissed.
Amen. I'm not who I was. I'm being removed.